In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And once again, the purpose for this podcast is to shine a light on people who are unselfishly helping other people and making this a more harmonious world along the way. And today we are very happy to have Mr. John Ewing here. John is the communications manager for the Volunteers of America. And before we get into this, I just want to read you the mission statement for Volunteers of America. And that is, the mission of Volunteers of America, Colorado, is to identify and serve the basic needs of the most vulnerable individuals and families within the community. That is such a beautiful goal, a beautiful mission to have in this day and age. So, John, welcome and thank you for being here.
Tom, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Very good. Now, I understand, John, that you went from corporate America and working in the business type of environment into working for the Volunteers of America. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you made that shift into working for a nonprofit.
Well, I was a journalist. I don't know if we'd like to refer to ourselves as corporate America. We like to think that we were, you know, operated a little outside of those lines, but certainly I did work for a large corporation. I was a journalist for 10 years. I was a news producer, a TV news producer. So I was behind the scenes. People wouldn't have seen me. And if you knew who I wasn't doing my job very well, because you want everything to sound very natural coming out of an anchor's mouth. So, I did that for about 10 years and was looking for a change. And, when you're in journalism, you spend a lot of time covering, the worst stuff, and to see an organization doing something about those issues, really drew me to Volunteers of America.
That was beautiful. That's beautiful. So you saw that there was good being done, and that is hard to find today. This, once again, is the main reason we even have this particular podcast, is to let people know that everybody can contribute and be out there and helping. And just by virtue of the name of your organization, Volunteers of America, says a tremendous amount. And what makes Volunteers of America unique? What's kind of unique about this organization?
You know, I think the volunteers is a good portion of it. You know, we do so much for so many people. We work in affordable housing. We work with veterans. We work with hunger and food insecurity. We work cleaning up people's yards who might get a citation otherwise. We shovel snow. And some of that is through paid staff. A lot of it is through paid staff, this organization of it. But we couldn't do any of it without our volunteers. We have 15,000 volunteers in Colorado alone, VOA Colorado. It's 15,000 volunteers we utilize every year. And we couldn't do it without them. You know, I mean, a news organization, when we were doing it, it was all on us. You know, we had to go out there and take care of it on our own. But we're able to leverage the support of our wonderful volunteers to make the impossible possible. There's no way that we could serve as many people as we serve. There's no way that we could do for 100,000 people every year like we do without the generosity of our volunteers. So I think that's what makes us unique, is we have this incredible base of people who are only here to help us with the mission. They don't want anything beyond that. They don't want any financial incentive beyond that. They just want to help us.
Wow, 15,000 volunteers. That just speaks volumes for the quality and the integrity of your organization there. That's fabulous. I know that one of the most popular of the programs is Meals on Wheels, and I'd like to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But first of all, what are some of the other organizations? Because I know you said that the Volunteers of America is is made up of many, many different opportunities for people in need.
Yeah, we have 55 distinct programs. And like you said, Meals on Wheels is certainly the name brand. We run the Meals on Wheels program in Colorado, and we can talk about that in a moment. But we also run 27 affordable housing complexes across the state of Colorado. We have multiple women's shelters. We are one of the largest providers of veterans in the state. We work pretty much lockstep with the VA to provide for veterans. We have, you know, we have one housing complex that is only for formerly homeless veterans. So we have a number of different programs across the state that meet people. You know, when I say we shovel snow, we're out there. If, you know, I mean, some people, you know, if they don't have neighbors who can help them out, or they don't, can't get out there doing your own, you know, in Denver, you get a citation if you're not shoveling your sidewalk. We don't want to see that happen. So I'm a snow buddy. I shovel snow from a very nice lady near my home. I wasn't expecting that necessarily as the communications manager, but I think she's appreciative. And then, yeah, we go out, you know, it's the same way with like citations with our Yard Angels program. You know, somebody, the city calls and says, hey, we've got, you know, this yard, we're gonna have to give this person a citation. And we just call up some volunteers, ask for some strapping young men and women, and we get over there and clean up the yard, and suddenly no citation. So we run a number of different programs, and it, you know, and they get individualized. We do stuff for people who've been justice involved, trying to work back into the system, get them the care and the case management support we need. We have our family motel where we help people keep the family unit together for people who've been experiencing homelessness. And then we have our day shelter, the Mission in Denver, but those are just a few of the programs. I mean, it's so expansive. I've been here for around a year and I'm still getting my head around all of the different things we do. It seems like every week I've learned about something new that we've done. So it's extensive and expansive. So yeah, we do a lot of good over here.
That's amazing, because I mean, just even the story about your shoveling.
Yeah,
you're a volunteer within an organization that's volunteers.
It wasn't expected. What happened? It's a quick story. We have the Snow Buddies program. We didn't at the moment have somebody to coordinate the volunteers for that program, so we weren't really taking any new Snow Buddies at the moment. But there was a news story on it, and unfortunately, it didn't get mentioned that we weren't taking any new people at the time. And so I said, okay, I'll call everyone back. I'm the communications manager. Okay, we'll put you on the wait list. And finally, a lady said, I said, you're in Wash Park. I live right by Wash Park. I'll come by and shovel. So I've been shoveling snow ever since.
That's
I don't great. Mind. I am happy to do it.
You're probably also thrilled to see spring arrive.
I'm thrilled to see spring arrive. I'm wondering if I'm going to be out there pulling weeds now soon, but that's fine if I am.
So you don't have any specific category of clients then? I mean, you don't have my impression before I had talked to you was Meals on Wheels. That was my picture of what the Volunteers of America was. And I always thought about elderly people as what you were helping. But now I'm hearing that you have this wide, wide range of helping categories out there. So there is no one category of age that you work with.
No, I mean, you know, and just what you're saying, I mean, we have a preschool that we have in Denver. We have an early childhood education center. And so in that case, we're helping young families, right? And, you know, in many ways in that sense, you're helping the whole family, but the primary client is like 3 or 4 years old. So we go from, you know, from the earliest stages to the latest. But seniors are a huge part of what we do. They're a huge part of our population. Just today, I'm talking to you and we're doing our Mother's Day program for older women who might not have someone to celebrate with. I just got through delivering flowers before speaking to you. So we certainly do work a lot with seniors. Seniors are a huge part of our base, and also a group that is often in huge need. Isolationism is very, very dangerous, very worrisome. And that's the last thing we want is for our seniors to be isolated.
Right. I heard a story, you know, primarily about, you know, seniors getting meals. And when I was telling one of my neighbors that I was going to be interviewing you, she said, oh, Tom, she said, you know, one of the things you want people to know that it's not just the kindness in the delivery of food, but that for many people, that this is their connection with somebody to sit and talk with for a couple of minutes and to have somebody come visit them.
Yeah, we know, you know, we know that isolation is very, very dangerous for seniors. We know that that is that when you're isolated from people, that it raises the risk of stroke, of other health conditions, that we know it's dangerous. We also just like talking to people. We're a people friendly organization. So when our volunteers, you know, if you're the kind of person who's going to volunteer to deliver meals every day, you're probably kind of social. So it truly is. And, you know, we had a case not too long ago where I was taking people out, on a volunteer opportunity, and I was taking them on a Meals on Wheels route, here in Five Points in Denver. And, you know, we came to the door and the lady had, she couldn't come to the door. She'd fallen about an hour ago. She said an hour, you know, I called 911. We got somebody in there. She's okay now, as far as I understand, everything's all right. But, you know, I mean, what if we don't come by that day? What if there is no one to come by that day? What if we miss the meal? You know, I mean, is she there 24 hours until the next person can come along? Does she ever get anyone's attention? She'd been there for an hour. And it wasn't that, you know, an unbusy time. So it serves as a welfare check. I know a lot of people, when we speak, a lot of people who maybe live out of town from their relatives that we help with Meals on Wheels, very appreciative to know that we're there, that we can check up on them and, you know, and look after them.
That's beautiful. And I love the fact that you said that you're doing so much work with veterans, because that's another segment of our society that people just kind of assume everything is taken care of. We assume that the government's taking care of them and everything is fine with them until we hear about the amount of work that you can be doing with them also.
Yeah, I think we remember, you know, we both remember from, you know, right around the time that President Obama took office, there was that big scandal with the VA and the wait times and everything else. And really since then, really from the Obama administration on, we've seen a much more targeted approach towards veterans, towards saying we've got to take care of this group. There's been a renewed focus. And we have seen progress in that. You know, the latest point in time count, which is where they go and take a look at homelessness on a given night. You know, homelessness is really tough in Denver. It's not necessarily, you know, improving greatly year to year. But one thing we did see in that, those numbers were better. Numbers were down like significantly. We have seen in that targeted approach that we are able to assist those people, that population. So we do a lot with veterans. It's important to remember that. It's really, 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 really important to remember that not every veteran has a different story. They come from a different background. So you have to have people who are in place to take care of them, to listen, who understand. But yeah, I mean, I was just down in Freedom Springs, which is our complex in Colorado Springs, just for formerly homeless veterans. And you know, the goal is not for them to live there forever. The goal is to get them on their feet, get them where they want to go, but it's a beautiful complex. I mean, it's a gorgeous place. We were out there planting a garden with members of the local JROTC. I always stumble over that that abbreviation. But the and you know, it's their garden, it's their home, they're taking care of it. It's great to see people take pride in their home and their lives again. And yeah, I mean, they're, and also, I mean, it's the least we can do. They're our veterans. So yeah.
This is the stuff that doesn't get into the media.
Well, yeah. That story was reported. I agree. It doesn't, you know, it's tough. Homelessness is a tough thing to explain to people. How people come to where they're at is a hard thing to explain to people. But there are resources out there. That's one of the things, you know, that we try to focus on, is when we get someone in a housing situation like Freedom Springs or something else, you know, it's, you're a veteran, you know, this country, you know, there are services that are available to you that are not available to any other class of people in this country, but you have to have someone help you access that. You have to help somebody. You need someone to show you where to look for that, how to sign up for that, what to do. Some of it's complicated, some of it's unnecessarily complicated. But if you have a person there, if you have case management there from, in this case, maybe El Paso County, if you have the services there, you can start to get those services and get those things that you are owed as a, as someone who served this country. You served this country, we owe you this. And so we need to get you those services.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. One of the other things about, you know, when I think about the Meals on Wheels, it's not, how do you go about organizing? Because I know you've got to gather food, you have to prepare food, and then it has to be delivered on time. How in the world do you deal with a project that big?
You hire the right people, and you get the right funding. You know, we're very heavily funded by the state and federal government. We always appreciate private donations. Those do help us do the extra things that we want to do, but we're heavily funded by the state and federal government. Guess what? Those people have high standards that you have to meet. When you agree to spend their money a certain way, you agree to do the certain thing. And so you have to meet those high standards. So we believe in having high standards for ourselves. We hire good people. We hire, you know, I think our main chef down there was a chef in many a kitchen that you might have sat down with your wife to eat at any point. And now he runs this industrial kitchen that we have. And so it's all about efficiency. We have multiple volunteer coordinators to make sure the food goes out on time. You know, if somebody cancels, we call the next person to get the next person in line, get some food out there. If they can't do it, then I guess what? It's going to be one of our staffers who's in a car taking it over there. So, you know, it's very important. I'm sure every once in a while, you know, if a meal doesn't get delivered, that's just, that does not sit well with anyone here. So we really try to make sure that runs like clockwork. But yeah, it's really, 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 really about hiring the right people, hiring the right staff that are going to be reliable, going to come in when you need them to come in, get the job done. And we're very, very organized. We've been doing this for many years. And so we got it down pretty well with a lot of trial and error. But no, our kitchen runs like clockwork.
That's beautiful. That is fabulous. I do know one lady who was receiving meals, and she had nothing but fabulous things to say. She said I could just about set my clock.
Yeah.
With the accuracy of when they would show up with meals, and still the lady who brought the meals would just chat with her for a little bit and find out how she's doing and what she read in the newspaper and this, that, another thing. It was just, and she just said it kind of made her day. She just looked forward to that moment when somebody showed up with that meal. And yeah.
We worked very, very hard to make it very easy on our volunteers.
Well, you make it look seamless. And So therefore, that is the beauty of what you've done. How long has Meals on Wheels been around?
Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know. We've been doing it for so long. VOA Colorado has been around for 127 years. I don't know how long we've been doing the Meals on Wheels program, but it's got to be in decades. I mean, it's been around for a long time. And obviously, Meals on Wheels isn't always run by VOA. You know, if you're in a different state, it could be run by any different organization, but in the Denver metro area, Larimer County, Gilpin, Clear Creek counties, it's run by Volunteers of America.
Mm-hmm. So you say you have volunteers of about 15,000 people. How large a staff do you have here in Colorado that is regular staff people?
400. We have 400 employees, and those are all around. We have operations in Durango, out on the Western Slope, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, and then the Denver Metro. And I'm probably forgetting an area or two, but yeah, we're all over the state. But yeah, we have 400 staff members, 400 strong.
Wow. You know, one of the things we'd like to encourage with this particular podcast is to encourage people to realize that getting someone to smile changes the world. But if you can do something physically and emotionally for other people, it's a blessing not only to them, but to you also, because you take that in. I mean, you are really creating a harmonious situation. And with that in mind, what do you think is the most gratifying thing that is most gratifying feeling you've had personally after being involved in writing, and now all of a sudden the volunteer work. What does that do for you? Because we want our listeners to know that as they do for others, they're doing for themselves also.
Yeah, I mean, I think being a journalist, you get pretty cynical after a while. I mean, I think that cynicism is a good way to, I wouldn't say that I was never unempathetic. I think you have to be very empathetic as a journalist to be a good one. But you do get a bit cynical, and it kind of protects you, or at least you think it protects you from the world at large. So, you know, I don't know if I really believed we were doing a very good job of taking care of the homeless. I certainly believe that we could be doing better. And I think we could be doing a lot better with affordable housing as a state and as a country. I believe all of those things to be true. But actually seeing it in the works, going into an affordable housing complex, people have an idea of what affordable housing looks like. And it's probably not a good idea. And then you go in there and you're like, this is nice. This is really nice. I would live here. This is great. The seniors seem happy. They have their own weight room. They have their own office. They like it. They're having coffee by the coffee bar. This wasn't what I pictured. I didn't realize that we could do something that we were doing something this good. And then when you do realize that something that good is out there, you want more of it. And you get a little, if you're like me and you're a passionate guy, you get a little angry that there's not more of it already out there for people. So it's a righteous anger. It's a good anger when you see that. But, you know, I mean, sometimes it is the one-stop shopping. You know, a lot of our work here is, you don't get much instant gratification when you're working with somebody coming out of homelessness. You know, when you're delivering meals to somebody day in and day out, you know, it's really just about the work. It's about being there every day. It's about showing up. But there are other times, you know, where it's something like we're going to build a wheelchair ramp for someone. Mm. And I remember talking to a gentleman who's a pretty active guy. He was in a wheelchair. He's an active guy though. He fished, did everything, you know, tended his garden. But the home that they moved into, you know, the home they were in didn't have a wheelchair ramp. And so he literally depended on a friend or his partner who was not a terribly large woman to lift him and bring him out, you know, to literally lift him. He didn't have agency. He couldn't leave his house on his own, you know. And then we come in there and have some volunteers and some people covering the supplies. And by noon, he's got a ramp. He can leave his home. He has agency over his life again. And it's just like, wow, that was really simple. It was really not hard to make that happen for this guy. This took a few hours out of a few people's days. And you just changed that guy's life. So it's incredible. I mean, it's incredible to know that all it takes is a few hours and a few supplies to change someone's life.
So when you say you changed that guy's life, you also changed the lives of all the people around him.
Yeah, I think that so. We changed the people. Effect. You're totally right. I mean, we changed his partner's life. We changed his friends' lives. We changed the people in his life that worry about him. We changed their lives. And, you know, also the volunteers get something out of it. You know, I remember talking to one who was like, I'm going to pass by that house. And this was a different wheelchair ramp, but I remember saying, you know, I'll pass by that house and I'll look at my girlfriend and I say, you know, that ramp over there, I built that. She won't care, but I will. And I was like, she's going to care, buddy. She's going to care. She's going to be impressed. So, you know, if you ever want to impress your girlfriend, BOA is the place for you.
I love it. That's great. That's a new twist. I like that a lot.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. So if somebody wants to volunteer, do they volunteer for a specific position, a specific job, or they just call and say, what do you need? How do you get your volunteers?
Well, the general process is to go through voacolorado.org, and then there will see an easy volunteer sign-up sheet. We do normally charge a $25 background fee because we do need to check and make sure you're good to go. Mm-hmm. If you can't afford that, we can waive it. We can find a way. We prefer that people pay it. But if you can't, we don't want that to be a reason that you can't come and volunteer with us. We can take care of that. But yeah, we have to make sure our volunteers are in the up and up. But that's the general process. And then when it comes to like, we might, you know, you can say, I want to do Meals on Wheels, but we may start talking to you and find you're better somewhere else. You know, if we find out, I was just talking to someone today, it's like, we found out one woman had a welding background and it's like, hey, we might be able to use you for something else over here. You know, it's like,
wow.
We have a program called Foster Grandparents where we take grandparents, we take older people, older Coloradans, and we pair them with children who were struggling in a certain subject. If I find out you're an English teacher, you know, you're a former English teacher, guess what? You're not delivering Meals on Wheels. You're going into the classroom. I'm going to need you to go take care of those kids and teach them about Moby Dick or Shakespeare. So we pair people, we try to pair them with the right program for them. But, you know, if you want to do Meals on Wheels, it's a wonderful program and we can always use the help. So for sure. And maybe you want to do it 5 days a week. Maybe you just want to be the one, a substitute on call. That works for us too.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. And you say that the website is voacolorado.org.
That's correct. voacolorado.org.
Okay. And if somebody would be just so moved to realize that I can't do anything right now, I'm not available, however, I could reach into my wallet and put a smile on somebody's face, how do they go about doing that?
Same website. And we always appreciate that. Cash works too. Cash takes care of many, many things that we need over the course of the year. Mm-hmm. Just because you can't volunteer doesn't mean you can't help. Just because you can't donate doesn't mean you can't help by volunteering, right? So we're willing to take it either way. But yeah, same thing, voacolorado.org. You'll see a big button that says donate. We're a nonprofit. You're going to see a big button that says donate everywhere you look. So yeah, that's how it works in this sector.
So if you want to impress your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, whoever it is, you could drive by someplace where you've done some
That's
work,
right.
You let them know about it, and that makes you feel even gooder. That's one of my favorite words.
Gooder,
you feel gooder about it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what could be a better selling point, you know, to a new prospective romantic partner than, I'm sorry, I've got to deliver these Meals on Wheels packages and then I'll pick them up for lunch. You know what I mean? If you want to sell it, that's a good way. I think that might go a long way.
Build some integrity in there. Absolutely. I love that. I like that a lot. So, John, that we're only because of the clock, we're probably going to have to wrap this up, but I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate you letting our listeners know that feeling that you get from doing good for others, and for you to even have a full-time job of just watching those smiles on people's faces. What a beautiful, beautiful thing to be doing.
Yeah, I always say that helping people is contagious. You start doing it and you don't really want to stop. So I'm addicted to it now too. I really enjoy the feeling I get from helping people. And I think a lot of people would enjoy that feeling as well. So no, this has been an absolute pleasure being on here, Tom. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. It's people like you that are letting us know that there are things that we can do to make this a more harmonious world to live in. And we truly appreciate that. Thank you so much. All right. So please go to voacolorado.org. Look for ways that you too can put a smile on your face and somebody else's face by so many different opportunities to volunteer there. And they will take your expertise and put it to good use for other people in the world. We appreciate that so much. And make a donation. Even though they're funded by other organizations, there's always, always, always a need for a few more bucks here, a few more bucks there, and to help people smile. So thank you so much for listening this week. Be sure and listen in again next week for another story about someone or some organization that is doing wondrous things in the world in a very unselfish way to make this a more harmonious world in which we live. So we will be, and when you go to our website, which is theharmonygoal.com, you can subscribe. You can let us know how we're doing there. And if you'd like to even donate there, to help keep us on the air, that's a wonderful thing to do too. We'll be smiling then. So thank you once again, and tune in next week for another wonderful episode of how people are making this a more harmonious world. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.